All right, welcome back. We are up to episode 18 of the Gridiron Pulse. I'm joined here with Carter. How are we doing today, brother?
Pretty good, man. Besides just a terrible sports weekend, and the fact that it is Monday, and I found out quickly that baseball is such a cruel sport. Other than that, I'm doing great.
Yeah, could be doing a little bit better myself too. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head with that yesterday. Just an awful day to be a fan of one of these teams, any team wearing red and black. Yeah, it was tough. Let's just jump right into it. Georgia gets walked off 9-11 by Oklahoma State in the bottom of the ninth with a two-run mammoth shot. That was just an absolute piss missile, dude. That was probably one of the craziest baseball games I've ever watched in my life. I fancy myself as a pretty big fan of the game of baseball. Come to watch a lot of games, especially the ones at Foley Field. I mean, dude, just terrible the way that it ended. I mean, we were winning
Awful.
for like 95% of the game. Looked like the bats came back, they got hot, but in reality, we got carried by two players. Slade Alford and Christian Adams just put the team on their back yesterday. And it wasn't enough. The bullpen proved to be an issue. Pitching was always going to be the issue. I know we talked about that multiple times on here. We were never too concerned about the bats. But, I mean, yeah. Just give me your thoughts on that. Just a tough, tough, tough game.
Well, I'll just start off. My future kids, I will advise them to never be a Georgia sports fan because it is the most painful experience you'll ever imagine. They'll just give you false hope and then at the very end just snatch your heart right out of your chest. And yesterday's game was just the perfect example. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but every single time we talked about UGA baseball, I always said that the pitching was going to be the Achilles heel of this team and whether they make Omaha or not. And unfortunately, it bit us in the ass big time yesterday. Just it reminded me this game felt like I was watching a Braves game of this year because they just made the same stupid mistakes, same mental errors, just bad baseball. We start off hot, we get up to 7-3, bullpen quickly blows that lead, and then we go up in the eighth inning 9-7, and then this is the part of the game where it really turned, and I feared for the absolute worst. Was when and I think it was the ninth inning we had runners on second, third, and I think it was one out or maybe it was even zero outs. I can't even remember. No, it was zero outs. And then when we ended up striking out three times in a row to end inning, which I knew as soon as that happened, I knew something bad was gonna happen. You can't do that. You cannot squander run opportunities. And like I said, it's literally watching the Braves struggle with runners in scoring position. It's the most agonizing thing to watch. Then of course after that, Tyler McLaughlin comes in, immediately gives up the two-run dinger, didn't even retire a batter. And then Zach Harris comes. Yeah, Zach Harris, right? Yeah. Zach Harris comes in. He retired two bat or he retired one or two batters, I can't remember. Yeah, two batters. And then there was an opportunity where there's a double play opportunity and we get the one out and then he catches the ball and just isn't even close to the bag. And I knew as soon as that happened, I was like, I almost wanted to text Jacob and say, watch this. We're about to get walked off. And then, sure enough, literally the very next batter wins the game, and getting walked off on our home field is probably, I just can't even imagine what those players were feeling. It's got to be just the worst feeling in the world. Terrible baseball. I thought Wes Johnson made a couple of Brian Snicker moves in this game, not really not really managing the bullpen as well as I thought he could. But I'm not gonna put all the blame on him. I'm mainly putting the blame on just the absolute worst pitching staff I've ever seen in my life. I knew, again, I knew I wasn't concerned with the bats at all. With Georgia, just the pitching, I've never seen so many walks in my life on just four straight ball walks. It's the most infuriating thing ever. So, it's just such an awful way to lose. 43 wins was just absolutely crazy. I did not expect, honestly, I didn't expect this team to be better or basically like on par with the team last year, because I thought the team last year was going to go to Omaha, with Charlie Condon and a bunch of those guys who were on the team this year. But just a absolutely just gut punch. Should have easily won this regional. It's just another kick to the groin by George Sports. So.
Yeah, and that's not even talking about getting shoved into a locker by Duke the day before. I mean,
Oh, that
talk
was
about a game
brutal.
where the bats couldn't get going. It was, I think, 4-1 the final, and we had, just like you were talking about with yesterday's game, so many opportunities with runners in scoring position, and the pitching actually held up very well in that game. But like you said about Tyler McLaughlin and the four pitch walks, I think he threw 8 balls before he threw a strike. And that just can't happen. It's tough because we don't really have any high leverage arms. Like, you can make an argument for one or two guys that come out of the bullpen are quote unquote high leverage arms. But yeah, Wes definitely made some questionable decisions for sure in the bullpen. I know Jackson Stevens was one that a couple people that I talked to, yourself included, would have liked to have seen in that situation. And Wes said in the post game presser that they were saving him. He was going to be the starter for the next game. It's just tough to do that when there's not even a guaranteed factor that you're going to even play again. It's tough. A couple Snicker moves for sure. He might have been, definitely wasn't out there sleeping though. I thought he was going to stab one of the umpires, if not all three of them.
Oh, dude. Speaking on that umpire was absolutely awful. I mean, just terrible. Like, it's awful.
The pitching wasn't great for us, but there's to a certain extent to where the umpires have to have at least somewhat of a consistent strike zone. Like, the pitchers probably didn't even know where they could throw the ball for strikes rather than right down the middle. And you saw what that happened when it was Zach Harris's turn. It was like, just get up there and throw strikes, kid. Well, he threw strikes. He got a ground out that should have been a double play to end the inning, like you said, and he missed the bag by like that much. It wasn't even really close. But it was an easy ground out to second base and just a nice easy flip to Colby Branch, and he gave him a great throw, hit him right in the chest, and his foot was just nowhere near the bag. Like you just said, I mean, I knew at that point, I was like, this game is over. It was bad. We did not deserve to win that game by any means whatsoever, and we didn't. But the umpiring was terrible. Everything from the bat flips in the beginning, everyone's clowning the team for the bat flips and for unbuttoning the shirts. And by the end of the game, I was on the same thing. I was like, I mean, I don't mind the bat flips, but like, if you're gonna suck, button up your shirts, dude.
Yeah,
This one,
I
yeah.
saw a huge discourse on that on Twitter from, the usual people who worry about other people's teams in their actual regional, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna be that old head boomer that's gonna
Yeah.
be like, oh, like, button up your shirts or don't bat flip. I think like in those moments, like bat flipping, dude, if I'm a Georgia guy and I hit a nuke in the Athens regional, I'm bat flipping the
I'm
hell out of that. Like, Oklahoma State was very soft about that, but
Yeah, their coach was super gay too. I mean, it was bad, dude. He was just pissed off in the corner the entire time. It's like
Yeah.
old boomer coach, just mad. And then his little interview that they gave him in the broadcast,
Pathetic.
so gay. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, that's like one of like my big issues with baseball. I just think just old heads ruin the sport because, you know, they just expect players to not have any emotion whenever they deliver in a big moment. Like
Right.
no bat flipping, no celebrating. It's why I could get in a whole rant about this, but I'm not going to. But it's just they just need to shut the hell up. Honestly, it's one of the more annoying parts about baseball. It's just old heads ruining the sport.
Yeah. I feel bad for all the seniors. We love you guys. They were awesome. Slade Alford was awesome. Colby Branch was awesome. Christian Adams was awesome. Robbie Burnett, great. Zabo, we would have liked to have seen something from you yesterday. That would have been sick. Trey Phelps, I know he's not a senior, but he's leaving in the draft. He'll be a first round pick. He was the one surefire first rounder that we had. I mean, at least like mid to late first rounder, I believe, for if my sources are correct. I mean, he had a great game yesterday too. He had that triple. And his celebration on that was sick because we were winning at that time too, so that was fun. I mean, that was just an absolute roller coaster of a game. I sat through the whole thing, watched every single pitch, live and die on every single pitch. That's how an elimination game should be for a baseball fan, but not the outcome that we wanted.
One side note I want to add. I saw this on Twitter yesterday after the game was over. So I don't know if you remember, Jacob, but you remember the Mississippi State game last year where the benches emptied? You know what I'm
Yeah.
talking about? Yeah, dude, that I think it was the catcher. Was it the catcher at
Yeah,
Mississippi
it
State?
was.
So he tweeted at Slade Alford when I guess like ESPN posted a video of the walk-off or whatever, and the dude basically like quote tweeted it and was like, he was like, yeah, like all your bat flipping, this is what you deserve. And then Henry Hunter and him were going at it on Twitter. It's like, dude, you're a grown ass man tweeting at a college player, and Mississippi State got eliminated yesterday. So, you're a clown, buddy. You're a
Yeah, I
clown.
didn't know that was their former catcher. I mean, that was his teammate at one point, right?
Yeah,
So
like,
they came from Mississippi State. I
yeah.
mean,
Shut the hell up, buddy.
yeah.
Worry about your own school.
I watched the post game presser. It was Slate and Wes. So sad, dude. But I mean,
Yeah, that
Slate
was
gave
brutal.
a great promo for Wes and the University of Georgia. It was nice to see that. But yeah, he was someone who had NFL or MLB aspirations last year. Obviously, he would have been a mid-round pick, like a third, fourth round pick, but he's someone who came back and definitely raised his draft stock this year. I mean, he hit like 360. He had two home runs in the game yesterday. He was, what was he, 4 for 5, I think, with two home runs or something. I mean, I don't know if Christian Adams is going to go to the MLB, but if we saw anything yesterday, he was absolute nails. He was also 4 for 5 with two home runs. Came up big in the clutch, gave us some of that lead that we had that we ended up just squandering. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, brutal. Brutal doesn't really describe that game yesterday. Just
Yeah. Well,
another, I guess.
at least we weren't the only national seed to lose, and we weren't the highest or the second highest national seed to lose either. So now we get to talk about Vanderbilt and Texas, the number one and number two overall seeds in the entire baseball tournament, have been eliminated. So I'm glad that happened. At least takes some of the media pressure and attention away from us.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you watch all the Vandy Wright State game yesterday?
No, I didn't. I watched the Texas UTSA.
Okay. The way Vandy lost against Wright State, I would have been just so unbelievably pissed off. They were coming back in the ninth inning, and they ended up losing on a ground rule double, which I don't know if you saw the game, but it was literally probably like this close to getting out, and Vandy, I think they would have won the game, so they would have won their regional. So, kick punch to fucking Vandy. It was absolutely probably one of the bigger upsets I've seen in college baseball. I mean, no disrespect to Wright State, but the only reason how I know they're a school is because of March Madness. They've made it a few times in the past few years. Did not know that they were that good in baseball, but I think Louisville beat them last night. But shout out Wright State. I don't have to hear that damn Vandy Whistler anymore. So that it was so just, oh my God, it was brutal watching that game because all you hear is that stupid ass dude just whistling after every pitch. So glad he's gone. Enjoy Cancun, buddy. Your team's gone.
Oh,
So.
he going to Galveston. He don't even get to go to Cancun. He going to Galveston, Texas with that dirty ass water. See you
Oh,
later.
man. Vandy got punched. The biggest upset of this tournament so far. But that is not the only upset that happened yesterday. Texas
Meep,
lost
meep.
to Meep Meep.
UTSA, baby.
But yeah, UTSA, they were in control this whole region. To be honest with you, I thought Texas basically lay down and died in that last game. UTSA was in control the whole game. Their pitching was fantastic. Their offense was great. Again, another upset I was not expecting to see. I thought Texas was gonna basically steamroll that entire regional and go to the super regional. But shout out UTSA. Meep Meep. I
Meep.
will definitely be rooting for them. Horns down.
UTSA stands
Always.
for UT sucks ass, by the way. A couple great tweets on that.
Kirby Smart's really laughing right now because I don't know if you saw that interview where Bengal was basically interviewing him,
Yeah.
and so Kirby gets the last laugh again because he still owns that poverty ass university. So shout out UTSA, you did the entire SEC a favor. I will definitely be rooting for you guys in the Super Regional.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great story
Meet
right
meet.
there. Wright State too. Didn't know them until college basketball season. But we know Meep Meep from their legendary run. I think, what was it, like 2021 or 2022? They started off the season like 8 or 9 and 0, and in football, that was just, they were a fun team to watch. I mean, they were putting up like 50 points per game, but which is cool. But yep, sent Texas to Galveston. Just go south, brother. That dirty ass water.
It can't be as different as living in Austin, Texas.
No,
So
at least Galveston's not ultra gay. We got game sevens today, though, for the vast majority of the day. A couple other national seeds are they could be eliminated. LSU's in a game seven. North Carolina's in a game seven, and Oregon State is also in a game seven. Those are the 6, 5, and 8 national seeds. So more chance to take some heat off of Wes Johnson and the boys. Maybe they can just they're gonna take yesterday and shove it way off to the side and just start focusing on transfer portal, which is now apparently open.
I saw a UGA pitcher this morning hit the portal. I
Never
can't
heard of him
remember.
before.
Yeah,
He
I
had
don't know.
Tommy John this past year, so he was on a medical red shirt.
I just saw the Anthony Dasher tweet on Twitter. I've never heard of him before, but I'm rooting for all out chaos in the College World Series, so I hope Little Rock wins. I
Oklahoma.
hope oh yeah oh hope Oklahoma
Oklahoma
wins.
beats North Carolina, and then USC over Oregon State.
And of course I don't need to mention the school, but I'm really hoping Wake Forest beats Tennessee because I don't know if our listeners listened to the last episode I was on. I predicted Wake Forest to come out of the region and go to the Super Regional, so I would love to be right on this because I absolutely just cannot stand Tennessee and their fans. So it would be absolutely hilarious if all that shit talk on Twitter from them and they get bounced in their regionals. So please,
Absolutely.
Demon Deacons, please, 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 please,
The
please,
boys,
please.
6 p.m. ESPN2, be there.
I will be hate watching.
We'll be there. We'll be hate watching like crazy. Yeah, Ole
I have
Miss is
seen.
also in a game seven versus Murray State. That whole
Sweet.
regionals, if they lose, that regional is going to be pretty much chalk too, which would have been nice if Murray State wins because we would have had to play them instead of Ole
Yeah.
Miss or Tech. Tech lost as well. Pretty sure they got swept out of that regional with their old coach from the 1600s coaching his last game. It's kind of a sad story, but whatever. I hate them, so I don't care. Hold that for me.
Hey, I actually was a little bit surprised. I thought Georgia Tech was I thought they were going to actually win that regional. But Ole Miss is on a heater right now. So, that Georgia Tech game was great, and then they blew out Murray State last night. But yeah,
I guess
last thing.
we haven't really talked about our regional yet, so the game after that we should have been playing in, Duke won, just ho-hum 3-2, just super boring game. Like, dude, if we would have gotten into that game, I would not have been surprised if we would have put up 60 runs on Duke. It was just like,
Oh yeah.
beat Oregon State, just win the game. But Duke sweeps the Athens Regional. Apparently they really like playing in Foley Field.
I didn't watch any of that game because I was just too pissed off to watch. I couldn't care less about that game, but I would not have been surprised if we slaughtered Duke, especially after Saturday's game. But last thing I'll say about college baseball, please, dear God, I do not want to see another Tony Vitello meme by the Tennessee fans on Twitter. I don't want to see another one of the stupid ass meme of him in a Santa Claus hat where it's like he sees you when you're losing. Like shut like dude, I don't want to see any of those memes anymore.
So
Please,
bad.
please Wake Forest, please win. That's all I'll say.
I hate Tennessee. That game's at
They dude.
6. We got North Carolina, Oklahoma's the first one at 3. And the late ones are LSU plays at 9. Then Miami Southern Miss is also at 9. All right, moving on here to another crappy topic that I don't
Another
want to
poverty
talk about.
team.
Just another poverty team. God, we're so bad. The Atlanta Braves suck. If you'll notice, I haven't worn my cool Braves hat in a while because we're nowhere near 500.
I went to the game on Friday and I want my $60 back for watching that atrocious offensive performance. Just brutal. I mean, again, beating a dead horse, it's just brutal. Like not like none of the games are fun to watch. Like literally the only reason why I've been watching games is to watch Acuña, who's the only, who him, Matt Olson are the only people who actually care about offense. Matt Olson's been on a decent hot streak, so him and Acuña are the only exciting actors of this team, other than probably Schoenbach, but
He had a
just
great game.
Ozzy's starting to turn it on a little bit, but
Yep, ever
I
since we
mean
started talking crap about him, hitting 293. Good job. Yeah, Michael Harris, take note.
I think actually I think Saturday I think Harris went 3 for 4, so
Hey!
what did he go yesterday? Oh, for
I had
four,
this.
so right back to where he
Yeah,
was.
just had to regress back to the mean, of course. Why wouldn't you? I mean.
To be honest with you, I didn't watch like any of the game yesterday because I was watching the Georgia game. But
Same.
it appears I didn't miss too much. Just a normal midseason form game. Bryce
Braves had
Elder
their
is
game up
up.
3 runs in the first inning, and we
Yeah,
scored
been.
one in the first inning, and then nothing happened for the remainder of the game. Nothing.
Garrett Crochet had another good game, which I obviously was expecting. He's one of the best pitchers in American League, let alone MLB. That was just a death matchup if you're Bryce Elder trying to go against a future Cy Young winner in Crochet. But another series loss. This offense just cannot get out of its own way. We play Arizona Diamondbacks in the next few games, which I'm gonna make another prediction. I think we're gonna lose that series because I think the Diamondbacks are better than us. It's just brutal, man. I love the Braves. I love my teams. I love the Braves. But it is just like none of the games are even like fun to watch. Like literally, like the only reason why I watch the games is to watch Acuna. Just he's the most exciting player in offense. AA, dude, I hope after this year you tell Snit to retire because it's been beyond time. I mean, Wes Johnson shows more fight and heart than Snit. He
Oh God.
literally just he just sits in that dugout and just
Wes
doesn't do
Johnson's like a
anything.
5'2" fireball out there. I mean, he's unfortunately built like an Oompa Loompa, but he's got some heat within him for sure. Dude, I'm not joking. I thought he was going to kill the home plate umpire yesterday.
Dude, I thought after the second bat flip, I thought the benches were gonna clear,
I did too.
honestly.
After
But
Slade, I know. Slade had the first one. Christian
it was
Adams had the
Adams,
second one.
yeah.
And then after, for both of their next home runs, they walk over and just place the bat on the ground. But Slade took like 45 seconds to round the bases. So I thought that was funny. I love the little cat and mouse game that we were playing yesterday because it seemed like we won that. But yeah, not the game. Whatever.
But yeah, we got Braves have a 3-game set with the Diamondbacks coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they start a 6-game road trip starting on Friday with the Giants and then Milwaukee Brewers. So pitching matchups for this week for Arizona: Strider, Sale, Holmes. Ideally, you would think that the Braves would take at least 2 out of 3 with those guys pitching. Hell, they could even sweep. I think all three of these guys have been pitching decently. Strider had a good game against the Phillies.
Yes, he did.
Even though this poverty offense just couldn't even score a run against him
Yeah.
or for him. So good pitching matchups, I think, more in the Braves' favor. But again, it all just depends if this offense just wants to show up in bunches, which again, I have no confidence in the world that they will. It's the most inconsistent offense I've ever seen. It's just brutal. So
Yeah, I
hopefully.
mean, we're nearing just poor rather than inconsistent. Like, it's never been inconsistent. It's like, oh, you can score like 8 or 9 runs one time, and then you'll score 0. What was the last time we scored 8 or 9 runs? Like, that was bad. Was it the first Red Sox series in the smallest, second smallest ballpark in the league?
I think the last time that we scored 8 or more runs was the last Phillies game last Thursday, won
Oh, yeah,
nine to
that's right.
three.
Yeah, we
And then
can.
they followed it up with a 1-run loss against the Red Sox, which was great because I was at that game and I paid money to see that. So
At least it was over quick.
I left after the 7th inning. I was like, dude, I can't watch this anymore. And I left,
Terrible.
went home. But I don't know. We'll see. I really like at some point. Like I don't know about you, Jacob, but like at some like it just physically cannot be this long where this offense is just bad. Like
Yeah.
it just can't.
It's
Like
bad.
it literally just can't. It's almost physically impossible for the amount of talent that's in this lineup for it to be just this terrible for almost 60 games into the season. So I don't know. We'll see. Usually about this time is when the Braves start to rattle off big winning streaks. So we'll see if this particular team can rattle off a big winning streak. Right now I'm not confident at all, but I don't know. Their schedule kind of starts to lighten up a little bit after the Diamondbacks and Giants series. They have the Brewers, who are basically who have the same record as us, and then the Rockies, the Mets, and the Marlins. So I don't know. We'll
Bet your
see.
top dollar will lose to the Rockies again at least once. At least once.
Hopefully not, but
I do
I
have
don't know.
a little segue into our next topic. Scottie Scheffler just ran away from the field at the memorial at Murrayfield Village. Murrayfield Village. That's kind of tough. But yeah, it's Jack Nicklaus's signature event. Very big event, signature event, $20 million prize pool, which is big. I mean, dude is richer than he could have ever imagined right now. Scottie Scheffler has won 3 out of 4 events in May, and the Colorado Rockies have won 3 games in May. The only difference is that the Colorado Rockies played 28 games rather than 4 events. So, yeah, dude, the Rockies are 9-50, which is just unbelievable. But yeah, it's happening. It's believable and it's happening right now. They're way below the, what is it, the White Sox pace last year. I mean, they're at like half the wins. The White Sox were at like 18 or 19 wins at this point. So whenever you get down on the Braves, just look, you could be a Colorado Rockies fan. I mean, they need to do what the Royals just did, calling up their top prospect. Just get Charlie Condon in the building. Call him up 4 times in a row. Single A. All right. You're going to double A. All right. Hey, me again. Triple A. Oh, hello. You're a Colorado Rocky. Just hang up the phone and call him, and hang up the phone and call him 3 times because you can't get any worse. You might as well just throw him into the fire, give your number one prospect some live action for sure. I know he's coming back from that wrist injury, but that was a good little minute ago. So, Scottie Scheffler, way better than the Colorado Rockies.
To be honest with you, Jacob, I watched probably the last few holes of the tournament. I was mainly focused in on being sad watching Georgia piss away their season. But Scottie Scheffler's just a damn machine. Seems like every time I'm on Twitter on a Sunday and Scottie Scheffler wins another tournament,
Just holding up a trophy. It's like, hey.
He's unbelievable, man. I wonder when will it be time we start talking comparisons to Prime Tiger with Scotty? We start that
Got a
conversation
chance to
now?
jumpstart those conversations in about a week and a half when they go to the US Open. If he can win that one too, I mean, my God. But yeah, he's back to back at the Memorial, which is a notoriously very, very tough golf course. It's like after Quail Hollow, it's one of the tougher stops on the PGA Tour.
We'll have to start a dialogue about Scotty if he wins the US Open.
Yeah.
That would be just absolutely insane. But
At
Scotty
least
shot 10
29.
under.
He's only 29.
That's
He's
ridiculous
got
too. I
60
keep forgetting how young
holes.
he is too.
Yeah. Speaking of young guys in their prime, I mean, dude, I just got this news like right before we hopped on here. Frank Ragnow, retired from the NFL, the Lions All-Pro center, 29 years old. Just turned 29 last month. I mean, 4-time All-Pro, 7-time Pro Bowl in 8 seasons is just unbelievable track record. I mean, I guess it's probably hard just mashing your skull into people like Jalen Carter every single play. Like I wouldn't want to do it either, but I was never an offensive lineman, so I never had to. Never got that big. I mean, I can't believe that he was the number one graded center in all of football last year. So I wonder if there's like some extenuating circumstances, but it really just sounded like for his health, like he wants to live a long, healthy, and prosperous life, and he'll be able to do that with the contracts and the money that he's made. But yeah, 29 years old, just turned 29. But good news for them is they drafted a great replacement in this past draft. Second round pick, Tate Ratledge from the University of Georgia, has been taking all first team center reps at OTAs while he's been absent. So I wonder if the Lions maybe knew something going into this draft.
Yeah, this is definitely a weird situation. It reminds me of when Luke Kuechly suddenly retired when he was so young, just him battling injuries, which I think I didn't read too much on it. Like you said, it was pretty sudden, like literally before we started the show, but I imagine it was probably something in like health related. Well, first of all, I want to say, hopefully everything is all good with Frank Ragnow. Injuries suck in sports, and that could definitely deteriorate a mental health for these athletes. So I hope Frank has a good retirement. I'm personally not a Lions fan, but one of my good buddies is a huge Lions fan, so I like to root for the Lions. So definitely hope everything is all good with him. But again, this, like you said, Jacob, this is a huge opportunity for Tate Ratledge to be the starting center for the Detroit Lions, which is crazy to think. To be honest with you, I thought that the Lions, when they drafted Ratledge, I was not expecting him to be or to be taking first team reps. I thought they were gonna maybe take a year to develop him and then start him next year. But yeah, this is a huge opportunity for him. Definitely gonna try and win that job in OTAs, like you said, and then into training camp when they start cutting the roster. So, it should be interesting. Now with Frank Ragnow gone, Tate has a huge opportunity to protect Jared Goff in year one.
I mean, dude, he's got some big shoes to fill, though. Four times all pro for a center is no joke. That's like you've
That's
been the best
crazy.
center in the NFL for 4 years, brother. Like one heck of a career. Cut short. There was no like injuries in the Adam Schefter report that I read. So I mean, maybe it's just like taking precautions, preventative measures. Just I mean, you're doing this 80 times a game. It's got to be wildly difficult. I always have the utmost respect for offensive linemen because I know I played a lot of football in my day. I would never do that. I could never do that. Like I played safety, so I was just about as far away from the play as you can.
Yeah,
So.
I remember when I first started football, one of my coaches was like, "All right, you're either going to be offensive line or defensive line." And then I said, "I'm out. I'm not playing."
You said, "How about
I know.
neither?
Yeah, none. Go find yourself somebody else.
Go find yourself a new center, buddy."
Yeah, 'cause I'm not him.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting that Tate was taking rep. I mean, he had been taking reps at center for the entire time, and I know he never really started or played center at Georgia, but he was always noted on the depth chart as like our emergency center. He was behind Jared Wilson, Drew Bobo, then it was Tate. And he would obviously had good rapport with the quarterbacks, taking snaps in practice because all the media reporters always talked about him being the emergency center. And when Bobo started those last couple games last year, he was listed as backup center on the depth chart. But he's always been a swing offensive lineman. He started off as tackle when he got here because, I mean, he's massive. He's built like a tackle. Now we bumped him into guard pretty early on. Then he obviously got injured, then came back and didn't miss a start, it seemed like. I mean, he started like 38 or 39 games at guard for us, just absolutely rock solid. But it's almost like the Lions knew and they drafted him as a center. And that's why maybe they took him, some would say would be a reach, because I mean, I didn't think he was going to go in the second round, but I was very pleasantly surprised when he did, especially him going to a great team right now and a great organization. He looks like Dan Campbell, and he plays like Dan Campbell too. I mean, he's gonna shove his face down in the dirt, and he's gonna get ground dirty on the kneecaps. What do you say? Bite the kneecaps. If he can reach all the way down there, he's so damn big. I don't know if he can reach the kneecaps, but I don't know how's Jared Goff gonna see over him, dude? We got the
Know,
great wall of Detroit.
yeah, I don't. I'm not sure how tall Jared Goff is, but I don't know. He looks like he's tall, but
Like
I don't know, but
6'5", but he's not 6'7" with a helmet and cleats on. I mean, good Lord, that's a massive human.
one note I want to make just speaking on NFL, I think I th this I'm not 100% sure, but I think I saw a video of Dylan Fairchild running the ones with the Bengals. I think.
Nice.
Like I said, I could be just
Guard.
100% wrong, but I saw a a OTA clip of him running with Burrow, so that would be really cool if he starts.
Yeah, I mean, their offensive line has been terrible ever since Joe Burrow's been there. So he needs something new. Try something new. I mean, he was a third round pick, I think, pretty high in the third round. He was not too long after Tate was taken. But yeah, I mean, he was talk about rock solid for us. I mean, I don't think he ever missed a start once he got
And
in the
he's a
starting.
great pass protector, which is exactly what the Bengals need desperately.
Yes. West Forsyth's finest, Dylan Fairchild. Homegrown kid. We'd love to see that. That would be huge. But yeah, I mean, that's really anything else on the NFL? We're gonna hop into the NBA here.
I don't have anything else on NFL. It's really just all off-season talk and then OTA videos. So we're in the boring cycle of football right
Yeah,
now.
we're in the dog days of the off season for sure. We got like what, 2.5-ish months left. I know Georgia's first game's on August 30th, so literally counting down the days. Got a calendar, doing the little X's on all the days. Just get me there. Just come on.
Yeah,
Let's do
I
this.
after last week, and I'm about sick of baseball, so
Yeah.
I'm ready for football now.
Usually, like you said, this is when the Braves start picking it up and make the offseason feel shorter, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen this year, and it's going to be a disgustingly long offseason.
Yeah,
It's,
but.
yeah, we are officially in the dog days, the offseason now. Let's move on here to the NBA, and as soon as this is over, it's going to get even worse. I know it's not. This is what sucks about the finals too. It's like they play like once every like 4 or 5 days too. It's terrible. They just drag it out for forever. At least with the Eastern and Western Conference finals, there was a game every night. They just flip-flop one every night. I could deal with that. But the NBA finals don't even start till Thursday, so we're going to record another episode before then. So I guess we can, you want to make our predictions now, or do you want to save it?
Let's do that now.
All right, let's do it. All right, so we got OKC versus the Indiana Pacers. It is kind of a boring finals matchup, but I like what I've seen from both the teams. They're both very entertaining to watch in their respective series. I don't know how entertaining this series is going to be head to head, though. The Pacers are pretty significant underdogs here. They are +530 to win the series. The Thunder are -700. And
Man.
they're 9.5 point favorites in game one I'm looking at right here. I hope it's a really good series, man. I mean, they're both, like I said, both fun teams to watch, but the big differentiating factor for me is OKC's defense. They are just relentless and they're big, tall, fast, and they're deep too. I know the Pacers like to get out and run. They're one of the faster paced teams in the NBA. But I think the OKC's defense is going to be just a little too much for them. I think we're going to see that pretty early on and pretty often in game one. I hope it goes to game seven. I don't really care who wins at all, but my prediction, I'm going to say OKC in five. I think it's got a couple of these games got a chance to get ugly for sure.
Yeah, I definitely could see that happening, but speaking on OKC's defense, people said that about the Knicks defense, which I thought the Pacers did a good job neutralizing their defense. They had a ton of scoring spurts throughout the games where they would go on these huge runs and build out leads. But like you said, I think OKC is definitely better than the Knicks, but we'll say The X factor of this series is going to be Miles Turner. And the only reason why I think it'll be Miles Turner is, like you said, Jacob, but they're OKC's a very big team, so they are going to have to rely on both Miles Turner and Siakam to get a bunch of rebounds, get out in transition, and get easy buckets. So, in my opinion, I think Miles Turner is going to, I wouldn't say handle, but I think he's going to match up well with Chet Holmgren. I think Miles Turner has a bunch more muscle than Chet. Chet's
I think I might.
a stick. So I think Miles Turner is gonna match up well. Chet's a good defensive and offensive rebounder. But me personally, I like Miles Turner better. And then obviously the big highlight of this series is going to be the point guard matchup with SGA, who won the MVP this year against Tyrese Halliburton. I'm going to pull a shocker. I think the Pacers are going to win in six. I personally like what I've seen from Indiana more than I've seen from OKC in this play in the playoffs. I think the Pacers really, what's the word I'm looking for? I think they really handle pressure a lot better than OKC because I don't know if you, I mean, we all watched the Nuggets series. That's really the big outlier for me is I thought, Denver. To be honest with you, I thought Denver was gonna win that or win that series. I thought. I still think OKC's young, and I think the Pacers are still young too. But the Nuggets, they blew out the Thunder a bunch in that series. They went on a bit of scoring runs, and I personally didn't think that in those games that OKC kind of handled the pressure a lot. But again, they ended up winning the series, but I think, especially I think with OKC got a lot more rest than Indy, because their series ended early, with the Timberwolves. So I think, especially for game one, I think OKC is going to come out a little bit slower because, they haven't played in a number of days. And I think, with Indiana, I personally think Indiana is going to win game one, and I think they're going to carry that momentum in this series. So give me the Pacers in six, and Tyrese Halliburton is going to be Finals MVP this year.
Nice. I like that prediction. I do want the Pacers to win, but I don't really care. But I just don't like the whole SGA foul baiting, foul free throw merchant, all that discourse, which he is. But I really only think that OKC is going to win in five because of their defense. But yeah, I mean, you brought up a great point with Miles Turner. Him and Chet Holmgren is going to be a great matchup. They both stretch the floor really well for 7 footers too. They can both shoot. But if the Pacers are going to win, they're going to have to do pretty much exactly what they did with the Knicks is get out in transition, run, run, run. Because if you let OKC set up in the half court, it's going to be tough as nails to score on them. I mean, they're big, tall, long, athletic, strong, whatever you want to say. But the Pacers are just fast. I think it's hilarious that their team name is the Pacers because if they dictate and set the pace of the game, they're going to win, which is why I think they've been one of the more entertaining teams to watch throughout the playoffs. But if you let OKC set up in the half court, they're going to have a tough, tough time.
Yeah, and going back to the Knicks series, I thought, obviously Jalen Brunson's a good player, but I really thought that the X factor for the Knicks was going to be Cat, and I thought he did a great job because I personally think that Miles Turner.
Oh
And
my
after
God.
all that.
And after all that.
But no, I didn't think that Miles Turner matched up with Cat. I thought, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that Cat is a better player than Miles Turner. But But yeah, I thought that Cat was going to be the X factor, and he was. I mean, he literally won them a
Games that
few
they
games in
won.
that. And and then the rest of the Knicks really just didn't show up when it mattered, like Mikal Bridges, Brunson even. But again, I really just think that it's going to come down to rebounding in this series. Like you said, the OKC is really tall, but I do think that Siakam and Turner match up really good with Chet and J-Dub in this series. So should be it's, the real losers of this series is ESPN, because they ain't gonna get no viewership with this series. But I personally will be watching, because I think it's I'm one of those people where I hate seeing the same teams in the playoffs. Like, I don't want to see the Knicks in the play. I don't want to see the Knicks in the finals. I don't want to see the Celtics in the finals. I don't want to see all these big name teams. So it's great to see two small market teams battling out for the championship. So I, like I said, I think Indiana pulls off the stunner. I think the Pacers are going to win in six. So give me the Pacers.
Yep, it'll be a fun series for sure. Looking forward to that one. I hate that they don't play every day anymore, which is kind of lame. We gotta wait till Thursday for this series. It's tough. And we don't get inside the NBA either. Oh. Wait, let's talk about that. All right, what's your favorite inside the NBA memory? Because I can name about 30 of them right now from that one thread on Twitter. Some guy posted, like, what was your favorite moment from inside the NBA? And I've seen hundreds and hundreds of quote tweets from it.
Mine is going to be a real basic answer. I just absolutely think the San Antonio jokes are the funniest jokes ever.
Big old
Like,
women in San Antonio.
dude, and it's been going on for like 15 years, and it's still
Yes, at least. Oh my God.
it is still just the funniest joke, like inside joke ever. Like, Shaq literally pees his pants crying. Every time Charles Barkley talks about San Antonio, it's hysterical. So I really hope ESPN just doesn't mess the show up, which I think they will. But
Yeah, me too.
it was really sad watching that last sign off after the Pacers and Knicks game. You could tell that Ernie, who by the way is a damn good dog, but
He's the glue guy. Damn
Yeah,
good dog. Ultimate glue guy.
you could definitely tell that he was kind of holding back some tears
Yeah.
during that last sign off. And then, I thought the mic drop at the very end was really cool. I thought what Shaq said was funny. I thought what Kenny said was funny, and I thought what Chuck said was really good. So I'm really sad that TNT's no longer going to be broadcasting NBA, 'cause they're the best in the business. But I don't know. I'm glad that it's not completely going away, but I am pissed off that it's going to ESPN. But I don't know. We'll
Yeah,
see. I hate it.
I saw today Chuck was on Dan Patrick's show or something like that, and he was talking to him about his contract and all that. So he actually had Chuck had 7 years left on his contract, and since they moved over to ESPN, he said he's given him 2 years and that's it. So, I mean, he's
It's
already
tough.
cut it down by 5 years on us. He's like, I honestly don't even want to go to ESPN, but he's like, I'm doing it for my boys, for Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq. So,
Stand up, dude.
Yeah, I really love Chuck. Hate that he went to Auburn, but I mean, who cares? That was like in the 40s. Dude's like anciently old. But yeah, that's the best pregame, postgame, and halftime show in the history of the NBA, and it always will be. The only thing I could say is now that they're on ESPN, is maybe we get to see him a little bit more. Maybe they're on for like, if they're on for every 8 o'clock ESPN game, primetime game, I would be down for that. We're gonna have to see how ESPN is gonna water down and make the show more lame as they go on. I'm sure they will. They're not gonna be able to be as funny. And yeah,
As
they're
long as I don't have
definitely
to,
gonna water
as long as I don't have to hear Stephen A. scream into a mic, I'm good.
down. Big perk. Like, oh
Like Park
my
and
God, dude.
bringing LeBron's personal agent Brian Windhorst.
That whole discourse is wild.
It's weird.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment from inside the NBA, I mean, there's so many, it's tough to put a finger on. So I think the vast majority of people just go to the big old women in San Antonio because, I mean, it is objectively, that is so funny. I will laugh at it every single time. But I dropped a good one during this episode. They're not going to Cancun, they're going to Galveston for that dirty ass water, Galveston, Texas.
That's a good one too.
Yeah, I mean, it's cut from the same cloth. I mean, them big old women in San Antonio. I'm sure they got some big old women in Galveston, Texas too. You don't gotta worry about
Victoria's Secret.
it. Victoria is a secret down there.
Oh
Oh,
man.
dude, there's yeah,
Absolutely hilarious.
there's one clip that I saw was the quote unquote greatest 3-point shooter in the world. Did you see this one?
Oh, yeah, I did
They
see
had
this, yeah.
like this guy who like self-proclaimed, obviously nothing to back it up, just like a 5'10" white guy who probably thinks he's nice like that. They had him on studio, and they had a shootout between him and Kenny, and it's just like first one to make three or best of three alternating. The dude went 0 for 3, and Kenny went 3 for 3 with a suit on. It was like, get out of here, bro. It was so funny. They clowned on that guy so hard. Shaq's got a bunch of funny ones. I like the when he's holding up the little hawk, like, caw-caw. The
Oh, dude. So I'm gonna miss it, but
Yeah.
like I said, I'm glad that it's not completely dead. I just hate that it's going to ESPN, where they'll definitely like jack up the show, 'cause
Yeah, I
you know
wonder
how
if
ESPN is.
yeah, they're probably gonna have to. I wonder if they're gonna have to move too, because I know the TNT studio's in Atlanta, because I've been there.
No, they said that they're gonna be broadcasting it at the same location, and it'll just have like ESPN on, like, like the table that they sit on right
Yeah.
in front of it says TNT, it'll just say ESPN.
Well, good for them. At least they don't have to move. I'm pretty sure most of them live here full time, at least as full time as you possibly can be with a celebrity like that. But especially in season, I mean, they're around town. I know a couple of my buddies, when I used to work in Midtown, a couple of my buddies say they used to see Chuck at downtown, like out kind of at the clubs, at the bar scene. Like they'd just walk around and see Chuck like all the time, which I think is hilarious. Obviously, a man of the people. Just an awesome dude. He's not getting down in Galveston, Texas, though. He's in Atlanta.
And not San Antonio either, that dirty little creek.
Big old women down there in that dirty little creek y'all call the river.
River Walk.
Oh my God. All right, you got anything else for me?
Not really. I think
A
we pretty
bunch of
much
points.
hit on everything. It's really tough to talk about football right now, just because, I mean,
Yeah.
it's all off season talk.
Yeah.
Like I've said many times during the show, I'm getting that football itch, man. I'm about sick and tired of baseball unless the Braves go on a huge winning streak.
Like
I'm
10
ready,
more.
like I'm ready for college football. I'm ready for NFL football. I don't watch much. Oh, I did want to add, speaking of Georgia, I saw yesterday that good old dog Tay Crowder, I think, had two pick sixes yesterday, or
Yeah.
one
Yeah,
in the
too.
UFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw it on Twitter. It was pretty cool.
Somebody signed that man.
Mr. Irrelevant.
That's something we need to do. We need to start watching all the UFL games and give our analysis on that.
Hey,
I'll be paid to.
shout out Hot Rod. I think he's still perfect on field goal attempts this
Nice.
year.
Nice. I was wondering that too. Yeah, he'll get a contract for sure. I mean,
Oh
also
yeah.
being just the amazing guy that he is. I have his autograph on my little helmet.
Me and my mom were out in Athens eating some brunch, and we saw Rodrigo on the street, and we got a picture with him. He was like, he it was weird because like, he was kind of like shocked that we knew who he was. Because I.
He's like, I know he's a kicker and all that, but he's like one of the more distinct looking players in Georgia history. I mean,
Yeah.
he's very unique.
That picture of him and Quavo at the Rose Bowl still goes so
That's what I
hard.
think about every single time I think of Hot Rod, is him and Quavo. Quavo's little midget self, like. That's such a great picture, though. He is exuding the aura for sure. Hot Rod is aura god. Last little
Shut
thing
up.
on Georgia. I know we got a commit this weekend. Carter Lucky, little brother of
Saw
Lawson.
that too.
Yeah. Everyone was like, this dude was a commitment straight out the womb. He was like born to be a Georgia Bulldog, which is awesome. He's a defensive lineman as opposed to his brother being a tight end. Norcross High School, not too far from us. Hopefully he's going to be a great player. I know Georgia had a huge weekend of visits. Many, many five stars. I know Thomas Davis Jr. was on campus. Five-star wide receiver Sadarian Morgan was on campus. Kaden Prothro, five-star tight end. Hopefully we land one of those two, either Prothro or Sadarian Morgan. Unfortunately, I believe they're both Alabama leans, and I think both of them might be from Alabama. But being
Yes,
able to take
I
one of
believe
those
so.
guys, I mean, we've signed the number one wide receiver out of Alabama before, several times actually. His name would be George Pickens.
Shout out James Coley.
Shout out James Coley, putting in the work, doing the damn thing, keep it up. I think that's going to be it for episode 18 here.
Well, hold on. I want to add
One
a
more.
little side note. Before we end, I don't know if you saw. You've seen the videos of Buford High School's new stadium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was out because Buford High School is not that far away from me from where I live.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was doing in Buford, but I saw like the school and I wanted to like drive past the new stadium. It is massive, man. It is insane.
Yeah.
And I saw that ESPN is going to show their first game of the upcoming season against, I think, Milton.
Milton. Yep.
Yeah, so it is insane. It's literally like it's a college. It's just a mini college. It's
University of Buford. So is Milton,
yeah.
though. I mean,
Yeah,
honestly.
Milton's big too, but that stadium is so nice. It is shout out to all those expensive boosters who funded that stadium. It's
Honestly.
nice, man. It's if you're ever in the Buford area, highly suggest you go check it out. It's so nice.
Yeah. Used to be up there all the time, played in their old stadium quite a bit, bunch of lacrosse games. We played Buford every year, 4 years I was in high school. Yeah, it was definitely like a college campus, University of Buford. I mean, there's several of those in Georgia. I mean, Milton's the same way.
Shout out KJ Bolden.
The house that KJ built, even though he never got to play in it, which would. That would make me so mad. I'd be like, dude, it's like how you started in front of 94,000 fans at Sanford Stadium. So I think he'll be all right.
Riola University.
So gross. He's a transplant, dude. Doesn't he?
Wanna be Mahomes so bad.
Oh, dude. Wanna be everything. It's just creepy at this point. Like,
Well,
was it a race?
the Georgia dodged a bullet.
Yeah, we did. Sorry. Pog's gonna be better anyway if he ever steps foot on the field. Heard his curtis.
I can't wait till we do like record predictions for the big teams this year in college football, 'cause I'll just go ahead and I'll drop a little hint. I think Nebraska is gonna be pretty decent this year, so.
Yeah.
Find out soon.
Find out soon. All right, that's going to do it for episode 18 of the Gridiron Pulse. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you next time.